wanna know one, what's going on in Africa? Can somebody please tell me what's going to happen in Africa? Hello and welcome to another edition of the program Rule of Law. This program is sponsored by the Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. And my name is Urias Toga, your usual host. Today on the program, we are discussing OMIO's role in the promotion of rule of law in post-war Liberia. Also, OMIO's role in the vetting and training of the Liberian National Police. At OMIO's role in the judicial reform in post-war Liberia, and OMIO's overall assessment of the security situation or crime rate in the country. And we have as our studio guest today, OMIO's Deputy SRSG for Rule of Law, Madam Henrietta Menza Bonzo, former Professor of Law at Ghana University, at Ghana University, and a member of the Ghana Police Council. Welcome, Madam SRSG.
Thank you.
And so if you would like to participate on the program, you can call us on 05-764-246. That's 05-764-246. Put your question to our studio guest, or you can make a suggestion on how we can promote the rule of law together in Liberia for a better Liberia. Stay with us. We'll be right back after our theme song.
Let's unite
Africa.
Unite.
Yeah,
let's unite
Mama Africa.
Unite
Mama Africa.
Yeah, let's unite.
Let's unite.
Unite.
Oh. I wanna know why.
Okay, welcome back to the program. Like I said, we have in studio the Deputy SRSG for Rule of Law, OMIO's Deputy SRSG for Rule of Law, Madam Henrietta Menza Bonzo. And together we'll be discussing OMIO's role in the promotion of rule of law in Liberia and the vetting and training of the Liberian National Police, the judicial reform in post-war Liberia, and OMIO's overall assessment of the security situation or crime rate in Liberia. And you can make your call 15 minutes into the program. And if you want to call, please call 05-764-246 to participate. Madam Bonzo, we've had a civil war in this country that lasted nearly 2 decades. And the entire rule of law system broke down. And so we have a lot of problems today. Thankfully, OMIO came and intervened in the situation. Role in the promotion of rule of law in Liberia is very important. How involved is OMIO when it comes to the promotion of rule of law?
I would say that OMIO is fully engaged with the government of Liberia in establishing the institutions of rule of law, re-equipping them, building capacity, ensuring that they function as they ought to function. As you quite rightly pointed out, in civil conflict, the rule of law is a casualty. I maintain that the rule of law is the first casualty when civil order breaks down. And so in re-establishing it, the challenges are greater, because when people have been able to do whatever they wanted to do, as long as they were powerful, as long as they had, you know, weapons and things like that, it's a little difficult getting people to understand that the law is supreme and that they must operate within the law and only with the aid of the law. People have learned to do things their own way, for example, when they think they have a problem. Resort to the legal institutions again with their mechanisms that are sometimes not quite understood by the average citizen is a challenge. But UNMIL is engaged with the government of Liberia to ensure that life returns to normal in all its facets in Liberia.
So can we be a little bit specific? You talk about building the capacity of institutions responsible for the rule of law. Can we be a little bit specific here?
For example, UNMIL was very much involved in re-establishing the Liberian National Police, which is the institution that has responsibility for internal security in any country which is under civil authority. And so in reestablishing the LNP, strengthening it, giving it whatever support it needed in order to be back on its feet, it was, you know, one major task. And then it's not a one-off function, because you have to keep training in order to get the critical mass of officers who can discharge the functions of the police. Then you need to ensure that you have the right quality of people by putting them through a certain kind of training. Then you need to ensure that they have a correct balance, because they are a major institution of state and they should reflect the general profile of the state. And that includes ensuring not only that there's proper regional representation, but also that it has a representation of women, because women perform specific functions within the police. It's every woman's right to be not to be searched by a male, for example. If you don't have women in your police force, then when a woman has to deal with the law in a certain way, there would be a problem. So we have to ensure that there are enough women. And as you rightly pointed out, many institutions suffered, including education. So the women who had the minimum qualification to enter the police force. And special programs have had to be put in, and we are still doing it, in order to encourage women to enlist and also to even pre-qualify them. And with special arrangements with the West African Examinations Council, we have managed to do that. We haven't hit the 20% that we hoped we would, but we are doing quite well in that regard. So not only have we tried to build a human resource, but police stations were also casualties of the war. And so we've had to build structures, appropriate structures that conform to international standards, with women and children protection units, so that when women and children suffer gender-based violence, they can receive appropriate and respectful treatment when being handled or being processed through the courts. Apart from human resource and structures, processes and procedures within the police, we have advisors in the headquarters who work with the LNP leadership, because you understand that after you have recruited and trained and deployed staff, you need to keep an eye on them. And so discipline is a very important aspect of any institution, and we have to make sure that all those things are in place. Now, Monrovia is not the only important part of Liberia, and so even deploying police outside of Monrovia to all the counties has also been one of our major tasks. You would appreciate that the police represent the presence of the state. They are a major instrument of state authority. And wherever you cannot find police for miles and miles around, there's a suggestion the state is not present. And so we've had to reinforce the presence of the state, the fact that the Liberian state is back in business and is able to do the things that a state has to do for its citizens. And we've done all of those things with the police. Yes.
Okay, the issue of the police is one of the things we have on the agenda. So I want us to leave that a little bit and come to, let's begin with the courts. Mm-hmm. I was at a one-day roundtable conference organized by Kato Sento and the Ministry of Justice. You were there in Maba Point some time ago. The Associate Justice Kabina Jane was there, and he pointed out something very important. He said, from a survey conducted, mm-hmm. they found that a good number, a good percentage of those in charge of the courts fall below sixth grade level, meaning their education was very low. And Dr. Even showed that a good number of them cannot even read or write. Where does that leave our judicial reform and in terms of capacity building? How is OMIL helping in this direction? Because surely if the court loses its, the court loses its credibility, of course, then we have a very serious problem here.
You indicated that the war lasted nearly two decades. That means that human beings suffered nearly two decades. That also means that people could not progress in their education. And so some of these people have found themselves in the judicial sector. One cannot immediately cure this problem, but there are things that can be done, like giving extra training. And we've been doing quite a bit of that with the magistrates and with various cadres in the judicial sector. Now that the Judicial Training Institute is up on its feet, there will be more of such training. You can't just get rid of people without trying to make them shape up and without trying to find better qualified people. And so we need to first know who is there, who is doing what. The judicial system still has a few volunteers, you know, in some of the lower courts. All these are problems that are receiving attention. And we are making sure that to the extent that we can help supervise, help retrain, help even recruit, we are doing so. We sponsored a program of supporting the hiring of county attorneys and defense counsel all over the country. And it's for that reason that some of the courts have been able to function at all, because you understand that a court is not made up of just a judge or a magistrate. There has to be, you know, parties before it. And in sponsoring these categories of personnel for the Ministry of Justice and for the judiciary, it's been possible for some trials to proceed. So we are working at various points, various angles, to make sure that justice is delivered. Because without justice to the average person, the rule of law would not be a reality in the life of the ordinary citizen. But it's not easy. You cannot get rid of everybody who has only sixth grade education, when people who have better education perhaps don't want to come and take the salary that they are taking. So you first need to also restructure the incentive system so that people with better education would want to take on those jobs. And all of those things are receiving attention.
But someone will say, OMIL has been here since 2003, and judicial reform, I strongly believe, has been at the top of OMIL's agenda.
Yes.
And so the question would be, how far have you gone with this capacity building? How far have you gone? To what extent have you achieved your objective? And what would be your own assessment of the court system in Liberia right now? Do you think the court is credible enough?
We have been working very closely with the Chief Justices, the previous and the current Chief Justice, to do just the things that you are talking about. Don't forget that Liberia is a sovereign country, and there are certain things that can be done only with the say-so of the sovereign power, and we have been cooperating with them to look at their staff, to look at the structures. Yes, the core structures were also casualties in the civil conflict. So we've been building courts. Indeed, just this last month, we've committed money to building 4 courts under the Quick Impact Program in Grand Cru, River G, and Unification Town, and Tini in Grand Cape Mount. We are identifying the areas where there are either no courts at all, or where there are courts, they are in such a shocking state that it's even unfair to expect anybody to sit there and work. But the needs are so many. We've been working with the Chief Justice to look also at some of the processes, because some of the processes also lead to some of the difficulties that we have. It's not a perfect system, but some things cannot happen overnight. You talked about UNMIL having been here 5 years, but the war lasted 14 years. So UNMIL has been here only a third of the time that the war lasted. And you know how difficult it is to build. It's so easy to destroy, but it's so difficult to build that if you take 14 years to destroy, you probably need 3 times that length of time to build. Progress may be slow, but it is happening. We are working assiduously, trying to look at rules, trying to look at personnel, trying to look at even where they live. Because if people can't get accommodation, then when you send them to an area where they can't find anywhere to live, they keep coming to Monrovia and they don't sit when they should sit. We are working on all those fronts, trying to engage with donors to interest them in building some of these structures so that the judges will be comfortable wherever they are deployed. But currently, all the county courts, county circuit courts, have judges who are working, and come beginning of the August term, I'm certain that all the county courts will open. We are working on some of the bottlenecks that make it difficult for them to function. However much a judge wants to work, if there's no county attorney, the judge can't work. And if there's no defense counsel, the same problem arises. In the correctional facilities, we have an undue high number of pretrial detainees, and that is a problem for us. But not all of it is the fault of the judges. Some of it is procedure, some of it is the very manner in which the judicial system or the legal system is structured and how it functions. Sometimes a gap between the police and the county attorney's office. We are putting in mechanisms, giving a little training to prosecutors, for example, so that they are more competent at what they do, helping the prosecutors' offices to assemble the information they need so that they do more competent prosecution. We are monitoring how the judges perform in the courts and so on, and giving technical advice. We've structured various kinds of training for the judges and for the magistrates. And now that the Judicial Training Institute is up and running, we can have a deeper engagement with them. The Chief Justice had always indicated that the short courses were not as helpful as sustained programs, because if you are dealing with a certain lack of capacity, then perhaps some of those short courses can only be palliatives, and what you really need is a cure. And so we are working very closely with them. When the Judicial Training Institute was launched, the first training was with a bench book that UNMIL had helped to develop for the training of magistrates. So we are trying to put everything on a proper footing. That can take time because people are used to quick results, but it's not every quick result that is an enduring result. And what we need is an enduring result.
Okay, the program you listen to is The Rule of Law. The program is sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. Our studio guest today is OMIO's Deputy SRSG for Rule of Law, Madam Henrietta Mensa Bonsu. If you would like to participate on the program, you can call us. You can begin to call now at 057642460. 057642460 057642460, and we are discussing OMIO's role in the vetting and training of the LNP in the promotion of the rule of law in post-war Liberia, OMIO's overall assessment of the security situation or crime rate in Liberia, and of course judicial reform. So the number again, 057642460. You can begin to put your calls through on the rule of law, sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. Madam SRSG, from where you sit, from where you sit, that was the question I asked. The Solicitor General was here last Thursday, and he did say that the judiciary, the court, he was impressed so far with work being done, and there was enough reason for people to begin to have some trust in the justice system. But of course, he's in government, so people would take his view as being subjective. But from where you sit, what is your impression? Do you think people should have enough trust in the court system now?
I think people have to be fair. When a system receives such battering as most institutions in the country received, and such loss of capacity as most institutions received, it's a little unfair to judge some institutions as if they were on an island and insulated from the things that happened. The courts are doing well, giving what they have. We are trying to improve what they have so that they can do even better. But whatever the difficulties, they are managing to handle cases that come before them. Maybe not as many cases as we would all like, but that is not entirely their fault. So I would say that if you prefer not to trust the courts in your country, whose courts are you going to trust? We don't have a choice in the matter. What we have a choice in is whether we help them to improve or whether we keep denigrating them so that they are unable to function. And I think that for most people, they would rather put their energies into helping the courts to function the way they want them to function than to constantly run them down. I don't think that helps, because if you arrest people, for example, you can only take them to the court. Nowhere else. Nowhere else is allowed by law, either national law or international law. So if you run down the courts, what are you doing? So we don't have a choice. And I think given their disabilities and their burdens, they are doing fine. We just have to encourage them to do better and better.
Okay, the number once again, 057642460, 057642460. The Liberia National Police, OMIO, did the vetting and training of the LNP. We still have some serious problems with the crime rate in Liberia. What do you think when it comes to what we have as it relates to the crime and the police? Is the police, in your view, capable enough to handle the situation that we have right now?
I think we have to sort out the question you're asking into two parts. The fact that you have a high crime rate is no reflection on the police. It's a reflection on what's going on in the society. Because it's not the police that caused the crime. It's not the police that's the reason for the crime. So what you should be interested in is how many of those crimes are being solved, or how many perpetrators are being apprehended. You understand?
Yeah.
Because when people decide to steal, for example, they don't decide to steal because the police have made them to. What you should be worried about is when they've stolen, do the police arrest them? And I would say a large number, yes. We certainly can do better than we are doing. We have to push up the percentage of the cases that in which we apprehend the perpetrators. But I think that we are doing okay. Don't forget, this is a post-conflict country. This is a country whose major industries have all been destroyed by war, so there's a high unemployment rate. And you can see from the trend of the crimes that they are crimes that tend to be committed when people are in some kind of hardship, or when people just are not used to doing things a certain way. Some of the things that are happening now, the stealing, the rape, the armed robbery, were things that were so common in the war, nobody even called them crimes. So the fact that they are even getting reported as crimes is for me a great indication that there's a clear line now in people's minds between what is acceptable behavior in peacetime and what is normal behavior in wartime. So some of those crimes will happen, whether you have the most excellent police or not. I believe that we all believe that the police in America work very hard, but America has a very high crime rate. And so it's not the police that cause the crime.
Okay, but there are those out there who have this general feeling that something went wrong during the vetting process. We have heard remarks recently from the police director, the president herself, that there are these bad apples, quote-unquote bad apples, and so people tend to blame this on-mill, if I may use the word, unilaterally did the vetting and training of the LMP. And so the question would be, what went wrong, or did something go wrong during this vetting process, would you say?
I believe that the vetting depended upon the cooperation of the Liberian public. So if information was not forthcoming from the Liberian public, then it can hardly be the fault of the one who asked for the information and didn't get it. So perhaps the public should be blamed for not having provided the information, if that is the problem. But as I see it, I think people are confusing two things. You can vet somebody who passes the vetting test, but who gets into a position of power and cannot handle it and abuses the power. So being vetted and being cleared is not a testimony of your sainthood. It's a declaration at that point in time that you are okay for the task. But whether you get onto the job and are able to do it and are able to handle the power that goes with it is a separate question. And that is why what is important is to strengthen the disciplinary aspect of the institution. There is the professional standards unit that has been established that is doing its best given the circumstances. We are trying to work within the system. The problem with respecting law is that it may not always deliver you the dividends that you want here and now. The police are also citizens. They are also human beings. They also have rights that will have to be respected. So if somebody is accused of a crime, it's not enough to just throw the person out because the people are whispering that this person is a criminal. People should stand up and say, A, B, and C are criminals. We knew them. We just didn't know they were the people whose names had appeared in the newspapers or whatever. And they will be dealt with, because it's not a case of if they've passed the vetting and gone through training, then they can never answer for their past record. They can. But the information has to come from people who know them. And if people who know them keep quiet, then they are letting the side down. UNMIL did the best it could under the circumstances, and you will testify that there are so many good people in the police who are doing their best given the circumstances under which they operate, that it's a little unkind to tarnish all of them because a few of them are bad. I believe that in every institution, there are bad apples. In this university, I'm sure there are students who are working very, 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 very hard in order to get their grades. And there are those who are trying to get grades by some other means. That doesn't tarnish everybody else's grades. You understand what I'm saying? And so our responsibility at this time is to emphasize that there are good people in the police. Not every one of them is a thief. Not every one of them is a robber. And the people were vetted from amongst Liberians. So it's not as if the people who are in the police force are not Liberian either. So I think we must be careful how we undermine their morale. Yes, we have to speak the truth, and we admit that some are not what they should be. But don't forget that when you wear that black uniform, you acquire a certain level of power. And it is in the affairs of human beings that not everybody can handle power or handle it right. So some may not handle it right, some may get bad, some may not be able to resist the temptation that the power opens them up to. And that's why the Professional Standards Unit is absolutely critical. And that's why information from the public, naming people who are falling short of the standards, is absolutely important in cleaning up the force. Every police force in the world has its share of corrupt police men and women. Every police force.
Okay.
Because being a policeman is a very, very... The person wears that black uniform, and when you are driving and he raises his hand, you will stop, whether you like it or not. And yet, that same person in Mufti, you would ignore. So the power that it gives them sometimes gets a little difficult for them to use and use properly. And it's our...
The Ministry of Justice, and the number to call is 0576-4246, 0576-4246. We pause to take a short break, and after that break, we'll be back to talk more about the police and OMIO's overall spirit in Liberia and other issues relating to the rule of law in Liberia. Our studio guest, like we said earlier, is OMIO's Deputy SRSG for Rule of Law, Madam Henrietta Mensah-Bonsu.
Turn your lights down low and pull your window curtain. Oh, let your moon come shining in into our life again. Yeah. Ooh, it's been a long, long time. Get this message for you, girl. But it seemed I was never on time. Still, I wanna get through to you, girl.
Okay, thank you, and welcome back to the program, The Rule of Law, sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. Our studio guest today is OMIO's Deputy SRSG for Rule of Law, Madam Henrietta Mensah-Bonsu, and together we are discussing OMIO's role in the promotion of rule of law in Liberia, in the vetting and training of the LNP, in the judicial reform, and OMIO's overall assessment of the security situation or crime rate in Liberia. Madam Deputy SRSG, still on the Liberia National Police.
They are not the only rule of law institution, you know.
Yeah.
There's corrections.
The correction center.
Absolutely important.
We'll come
so
to that.
So let's talk about corrections too.
But let me just say this, or let's talk a little bit about that. You seem to be blaming the public for not really being helpful in the re-vetting process. But some would say probably OMIO should have considered the fact that we have just come from a very brutal civil war, and so there would be this fear of reprisals, and so that should have been part of the calculation. So people were afraid probably to give information about people and for a male fear of being hit back at. And so did Omio consider all of that?
Definitely. But what's the option then? People are afraid of reprisal, so they won't give information about people they know. That's fine. But now, if they are not afraid, they should let us know. You understand? What I'm saying is that the vetting process does not end only because the person has now been recruited and is in the force. Information which you were afraid to disclose before, nothing stops you disclosing it now. If you were never the person who should have been recruited, it will not affect the fact that you happen to have gone through the sieve without anybody knowing. You will be weeded out. But people complain that undesirables have found themselves into the police. So who are the undesirables? You understand? This is a democracy. You make an allegation, you have to substantiate it. UNMIL could not have sat back and waited till everybody felt comfortable before giving you a police force. Or that is an option you are suggesting, that nothing should have happened for 4 years till everybody was comfortable. How are you going to get comfortable when there was no police? So let's not look at it as if it's such a done deal that whatever has gone wrong cannot be corrected. It can. Let's not so emphasize the so-called bad apples to the neglect of the good ones who are putting their lives on the line every night, going on night patrols and so on, so that people can have a sound sleep in their homes. Who we think are unsuitable, name them, give the indications of why they are unsuitable, what their past has been, and I guarantee you that it will be investigated.
Okay, let's quickly look at this text. It says why the police cannot work potently to protect our citizens, and it's from Major T. Samuka. I'm not sure if the major is his position as a police officer or is his name, but it's from Major T. Samuka. Why the police cannot work potently to protect the citizens. So I'm sure you have addressed that already, or if you want to say something on it. But I think he's talking about the fact that we have the police officers in the streets or doing patrols, but yet we still see armed robbery, which is a very serious crime. And that was the other thing I was going to come to, so maybe you might want to talk about that.
You know, perhaps it's very high expectation of the police that is producing this reaction, because the fact that there are police personnel in the streets itself is an indication that there is a security system in place. People will not stop committing crime. They will do so when they think there will be no opportunity of being caught. But you would agree that some of the highly publicized armed robberies in recent times have caused a lot of concern, and the police have arrested them. If they haven't arrested each and every one of them, a few are at large, but they have arrested enough of them for us to be comfortable that we do have a police force. Because when you report these crimes, they are, you know, all over, splashed all over in the press. And the police look askance and say, but we don't know who is doing it. That should give you cause for concern. But if 3 days later they have the people under lock and key, that's one. Appreciate the work of the police when they've done what we would like them to do. I hope that people will appreciate that in being able to effect these arrests of the people who terrorized the Kingrey community, who used these rough tactics to harass people in various parts of Painesville and so on, and who have been arrested, is an indication that the police are working, and they are working effectively. We do have a drop in armed robbery cases, believe it or not. We do have a drop.
But is Omeo involved in some
Absolutely.
Of these night patrols?
Absolutely.
Because people say Omeo police officers sit in their luxury jeeps and leave armless police officers in the streets. Are Omeo officers involved in these night
Absolutely.
Patrols?
Absolutely. We have foot patrols in all the communities at night. We back LNP. Every night, there are on-pole officers out on patrol. There are FPUs out on patrol. So the people who are saying that probably only see on-pole officers in the daytime, but at night when they are asleep, on-pole doesn't sleep. That I guarantee you. They are on foot patrols everywhere in the city.
But if Omeo vetted and trained the police, uniformed and put them in the streets, then it's like you have graduated somebody, and so it means that person is qualified. And so then the question that comes to mind is, why aren't they armed to combat these armed robbers?
I believe that when you finish school, you will find the first day that you cannot be a chief executive of your outfit because you won't have the necessary experience and exposure. But it will build up over time if you have a good boss who gives you good advice and good on-the-job training. So give them time.
Some time.
Give them time. But I'm saying the fact that they've arrested these armed robbers and so on should tell you that they are working. We don't feel the police around our elbow all the time because we cannot have as many police as there are citizens. But okay. We are doing our bit. And I don't know how you came by the notion that on-pole officers just sit in luxury jeeps and drive around. They don't.
Okay,
they do foot patrols.
We have a caller on the line. Hello?
Samuka.
Oh, you send a text?
Yeah, I send a text.
Is it Major Samuka? Yeah, where are you calling from? Can you change your position a little bit, just do a quick shift? Oh, we lost Samuka. Shall I say one final question before we leave the issue of the police? The president, Madam Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, on security said that there was a need, or that she said re-vetting of the police was a necessity. Is that re-vetting process going on right now? Is it going to be like we started from the beginning, or is it in some other form? We have another caller on the line again. Hello.
Yeah, hello, this is Samuka.
Okay, Samuka, tell us where you're calling from first. Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from first, please? Okay.
The only still need to do more.
Okay.
We see the patrol of on the vehicle has been slowed down. Our Nigerian police are not equipped to international standards to combat crime, criminal.
Okay.
We also see that in the government have increased, but we know that if our police are highly equipped, they need to battle the criminals. 3 days ago, we heard from the police out there that some police were engaged in anger and some act that was illegal.
Uh-huh.
It seems only people stay on the vetting process. And today we are asking that the police be retrained. How she look at that and how can she take all the confidence of the police? Police that were found 3 days ago, terrorists and the criminals.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, we got your point.
Okay,
thank you. I think he said Omeo police officers are more equipped. They have vehicles to move up and down, and the Liberia National Police is not equipped, and the need to retrain the police was mentioned, like I said, by the president. And so how can you address that?
The police do go back to the police academy regularly for various parts of the training. So I don't know what kind of retraining you are talking about. But the question you're asking me, I believe it's Madam President who should answer it, because
But do we have any revetting ongoing or expected, or is it in some other form? I say like going over.
Yes, there are some processes that will lead to some certification, and in the process shaping up, I'm sure will find themselves out. But we are trying to help them develop the necessary confidence that they need to do the work they are doing. But I'm saying, in spite of that, they are arresting armed robbers, they are arresting people who have broken the law in some way. So they are doing fine, perhaps a little higher than the situation would justify. But that's because we are anxious for everything to happen immediately. And when there seems to be some delay in it happening the way we want, then we think nothing is happening. But I think there are enough good police officers, and Liberians should be proud that they have those good officers on the beat doing their best day and night. Yes, they don't have resources, but that's because the state itself doesn't have money as it ought to have. And UNMIL does back them up. The foot patrols are done not just by UNMIL, but with LNP all the time. All the time.
Even at night.
All the time. And so perhaps what I should do is to get the police commissioner to take you journalists on one of the night patrols, and you will see them at work. We have foot patrols over at night.
So people should sleep assured that only is watching over them.
That's why they sleep. Now and again, there will be a slip, because criminals also sometimes have the advantage of knowing that if these people passed here 10 minutes ago, they aren't coming back immediately. Criminals also use intelligence to develop their plans. And so you cannot catch everybody when they get out of line. Even in our own homes, with the few children that we all live, don't people break our rules, even though we are looking? So there is some amount of that. But all I'm asking is that the police need space and compassion in order to improve their work, in order to develop in the way that they must develop, because constant denigration can and will affect their morale. And they are a force that requires some morale in order to take some of the risks that they take. So that is why I'm saying what I'm saying.
Okay, the number to call again is 0576-4246, 0576-4246. The program is The Rule of Law on Lux FM 106.6. The program is sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. UNMIL's Deputy SRSG for Rule of Law, Madam Henrietta Mensah-Bonsu, is our guest today. The Correction Center. There are some... there are mixed opinion about the correction center. There are some who feel that the correction centers are too comfortable, or people have no fear of going there, and so they see it as a comfort house and too good. But give us first your own overall impression of the correction center in Liberia, correction centers in Liberia.
I would say that the people who hold the opinions that you have just expressed have not been inside. The correction center is not supposed to be a little hell on earth. It is there to ensure that the person who has committed a crime is removed from his or her environment into a place where the person can either be rehabilitated or, at a minimum, can be prevented from committing further, cannot live. In so need to take them out and keep them where they will be out of harm's way and where they will not be in a position to cause harm to us until we are safe to bring out again. The correction centers are not in a good state, but we are trying. There's a lot of overcrowding, which is not good for anybody. That's why I'm saying, whoever said that, perhaps the person has just seen the walls and thinks anybody who lives in such, surrounded by such walls must be having a good time. It's not a good place.
You talk to people out there and they say, well, there is this too much advocacy for decent prisons for prisoners. You go to the Moria Central Prison, prisoners are there, they eat 3 meals a day, which the average librarians don't have. They watch TV, and surely, I mean, it does not in any way. I'm saying what people say to me when you talk to them.
But they don't in say a way, that change there are 20 adults in a cell. They don't say that there are 20 adults locked up in a cell. They don't say that.
But certainly there are advocates for more decent prisons for prisoners.
You see, the what they say is true, that you judge a society by the way it treats its vulnerable. When people are taken out of society and put behind walls, they lose their liberty. They lose their ability to find their own food and things like that. And it would be a shame if we took people out of society because they were not good, and then we ourselves treated them so badly that we ourselves came out not looking good either. It's not to make the prisons a heaven on earth for wrongdoers. In the criminal justice system, it's a constant battle between ensuring that prisons are prisons and are decent, and ensuring that people don't live a better life there than they live outside, because then there's no incentive for people to stay on the right side of the law. It's a constant battle. But there are also some minimum standards that have to be observed. Lately in the news, prisons in the DRC have hit headlines because prisoners have died of starvation. What does this say about the society which has those prisons? That they could look on for human beings to die of starvation, a slow death, because they haven't been good. You know, so I would say that, yes, sometimes when you look at the fact that prisoners don't have to fend for themselves, find their own food and so on, you kind of think they are lucky. But if you've never been deprived of your liberty, you have no idea what it means to be in a prison, what it means to be in the custody of the state. You have to sleep when they say you should sleep. You have to wake up when they say you should wake up. You have no liberty of action. In some prison systems, you don't even have their name. They use your number. You are completely dehumanized. So it's perhaps because we don't know the reality of prison life that we think if they don't have to find their own food and they don't have to pay rent and so on, they are having a ball. They are not. They are not. Not by a long shot.
Okay. Before you make your closing remarks, your overall assessment, or Omel's overall assessment of the security situation in internal security situation in Liberia, the crime rate and so forth, what would be your overall assessment?
That is calm and full. There are incidents of armed robbery, but don't forget that a city of the size of Monrovia will have some crime. A city with the profile of Monrovia, post-conflict, people arriving, no jobs and so on, will have crime. So the crime in Monrovia, yes, it is cold comfort for somebody to say it does not have the kind of crime that cities of its size, even in more settled situations, have. It's cold comfort if you've been the victim of an armed robbery for you to be told, well, cities in Thailand of your size have more crime. So that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that in spite of all those happenings, things are not that bad. And we can only hope that we can do better to make the average citizen feel more protected by the law. And the armed robberies hit the front pages all the time. And yet the most common and most serious of the crimes reported is rape, not armed robbery. But because armed robbery affects everybody and gives everybody a sense of insecurity, we don't appreciate what sense of insecurity the incidence of rape gives to women and girls. But rape is a much more frequent crime than armed robbery is and hopefully can ever be.
Okay. Your closing comments.
My closing comments, that so far, so good. We have difficulties. We are working on them. There have been a few bad incidents. We are dealing with them. In a society which doesn't have angels, you are bound to have now and again a few people doing the wrong thing. The important so that such people can be dealt with expeditiously and effectively so that others don't copy those things. We have to understand that when we vetted the police and trained and put uniforms on them, we were not saying they had become angels. What we are saying is that they are able to start doing the work of police officers. That means that at any point in time, if they fall short of the standard, we should be up and doing. In a democracy, people have to go out and make their voices heard. So if you know of things that make somebody unsuitable and you keep it to yourself and only murmur that the person is unsuitable, the person will challenge you to produce the evidence and you will have no leg to stand on. And we should be the last people to start throwing out people we have invested money in training only because somebody said he's a bad man. You have to show why he's a bad man. And if indeed he is a bad man, believe me, the system will deal with him. But we do need particularities as to what people are doing which makes them unsuitable. People have done which makes them unsuitable, and they will be dealt with. That assurance I can give.
The voice of OMEO's Deputy SRSG for Rule of Law, Madam Henrietta Mensah Bonsu. She's been our studio guest today on the program Rule of Law, sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. Join us next Thursday for another edition of the program. My name is Uriah Stogart, and I'm your usual host. Have a pleasant good evening.
Your lights,
yeah, has you
Africa.